Chapter 17. Children Obey. Anastasia opened her eyes. The last thing she remembered was the demon blood burning and circling through her veins before she collapsed on her bed. Now she heard Remy's voice in her ear. "You up?" She turned her head slightly to the right to the sound of his voice. Light spots created by the lamp on the nightstand near her bed crimped her view. She sat up in bed and glared at him. "I've been trying to wake you for a while now," he said slowly. She raised herself from the comfort of her bed. What happened with Veronica? Before Remy could answer, she dressed herself quickly. The demon blood had left her system, replaced with severe pain still ravaging her body, signaling that she needed to feed. She left her room and walked down the hallway, lowering each curtain as she passed. Even though the sun had set, there was still a trace of red and orange in the sky. She made it around the corner and stopped just feet from Veronica's room, smelling Remy's strong, lingering scent from last night. She slicked back her tousled hair, combing out the knots with her fingers, and she then placed her hands on the doorknob, turned it, and opened the door slightly. She peeked in, seeing Veronica laying on her bed. After she heard the strong cadence of Veronica's heartbeat, she calmed herself and entered the room. Somehow, she had made it through the night, still human. She stared at Veronica's quaint features, her dark eyebrows, her average-sized lips, her round face, and it brought her back to the time when she first encountered Veronica at Dark Sepulchre. At that time, she had no deep feelings for the human, and like Remy, she found Veronica to be an attractive meal. When she learned that Veronica knew how to hide her thoughts from Demon, it tempted Anastasia to end her life right then and there. Veronica remained untouchable, thanks to Celine's protection, which now seemed bogus. It took every atom that made up her entire body to also protect her, and she found herself switching back and forth from her human side of compassion to her demon side of callousness. Her face still showed signs of her illness, yet she looked better than the night before. "I think she'll be fine in a few days." Anastasia heard Remy's voice behind her. She looked over her shoulder, seeing his cracked lips pull back into a smile. "It's good you didn't sire her," Anastasia replied. "I thought you would." "I'm not that disorderly." He walked up to her and stood at her side. "I can handle my emotions." Anastasia felt her hunger pangs beginning to become more emphatic, but again she pushed the thought of feeding aside. "You said last night that Veronica researched about the pure ones." "Yeah." His eyes narrowed in on her. "You have a plan, don't you?" She walked out of the room and down the hallway, heading toward Nathan's study. She couldn't remember the last time she'd been there when Nathan wasn't there. It wasn't a room she enjoyed or even bothered to discover, but she knew he kept all his research materials about the demon tucked nicely on the bookshelves lined against the wall. However, Veronica had made a mess. Countless opened books laid on the table and on the floor. She walked over to one of the bookcases and began to read the writing on the spine of the books. Veronica scoured all those books. Remy stood in the doorway. "Maybe she missed something." "No, I think she covered it all. We can't kill the pure ones, because they're impossible to kill. Oh, and if we did manage to do that, we end up killing ourselves as well." She immediately walked away from the bookcase. "Kill ourselves?" She didn't understand. "Veronica told Hallie, who told me that if a pure Romanga dies, its descendants die along with it. So if I managed to kill a pure Lamia, I'd die too." She returned to her search. "There has to be something we can do." The thought about dying didn't faze her. The pure ones couldn't be this unstoppable. Everyone and everything had a weakness. She just needed to find it. "Yeah, we can stop Lucius and Celine from getting the other piece of the tablet." She opened one of the books and searched it as fast as she could, but came up empty. "We need to find Nathan. I'm sure he knows what's going on by now." "I have a better idea." He stepped into the room. "We should pack up and leave Minneapolis." She stared at him, mind-boggled at his suggestion. At least we'd be alive and far away from this city. It doesn't matter where we run. She closed the book in her grasp, and her eyes narrowed. Once they're freed, there won't be any place to hide. I'm not saying we hide, I'm saying we run. He folded his hands across his chest. I mean, if you want to stay here and try to stop it, then that's your call. I love a good dirty fight myself. But this fight, we won't win. We have to separate Lucius and Celine. She walked out of the room, heading toward the front door. Maybe they won't be as strong when they're apart. And how are you going to do that? He followed her. Celine's the weakest. She stopped by the Greek statues in the foyer. Maybe if we talk to her, she'll see the wrong in all of this. Talk? You want to talk? Confused, Remy's mouth dropped. That's your big plan? I'm not going to kill her. Why not? She opened the door and felt the cool wind waver against her cheeks, tickling them briefly. I'm all for civil conversations, but what makes you think she's going to take your word over her own makers? He descended the front steps and stopped just short of the front yard that still had small mounds of snow that had not melted yet from the warm weather. She'll die for Lucius. And eventually she will. The right corner of his mouth curled in a half-cocked smile. Awesome sauce. He took a few steps before looking over his shoulder at her. Shall we? Without warning, he took off in a blur, jumped over the fence surrounding the yard, and took off through the trees, heading to Minneapolis. Anastasia quickly followed, staying on his tail. Everything around them moved as if it existed in its own realm. The stars streaked in the night sky, and the city lights combined their auras. They were moving faster than anyone or anything could move. They zigzagged around cars and trucks stopped at stoplights. When they made it into downtown Minneapolis, they moved around pedestrians who had no idea, except for the surprising gust of wind. Remy continued through the downtown area and to East Minneapolis, where he slowed down, just before reaching a busy intersection. He moved into the alley, and seconds later Anastasia appeared beside him, stirring up empty cans and other garbage from the streets. The smell of car exhaust filled her nose. She heard roaring engines and the thoughts of humans around them. So much better than a taxi. Remy straightened his clothes. They stopped across the corner of Pierce and Market. The street was deserted except for potholes in the asphalt filled with water from melting snow. Anastasia stared down at her reflection in one puddle at her pale face. She needed to feed, but she didn't have the time. Ahead, the smell of Demann and Celine's human minion exuded from the sanctuary. She crinkled her lips in disgust. She walked forward with Remy following her in silent steps, their bodies on high alert. Celine was there, somewhere inside the two-story home, maybe along with Lucius. She walked up to the door, noticing that it was slightly opened. She kicked it gently, and it swung back, knocking against the wall. Her keen sense of smell picked up on the sweet smell of poinsettias and peppermints. Ahead, she saw Jessica, who jumped to her feet, on alert at their unexpected visit. Remy chuckled quietly at the human. Anastasia approached Jessica, sensing that she was not afraid of them. Instead, she stood tall. "Are you here to see Celine?" Her voice sounded somewhat archaic. Remy examined the human closely. "Well, who else do you think we're here to see?" He turned back to Anastasia, who looked down the hallway. In one quick movement, she grabbed Jessica, sinking her teeth into the base of her neck. Jessica let out a gurgled scream, but Anastasia placed her hand over her mouth to silence it. The warm blood trickled down her throat, healing her and silencing her hunger pains. She released her grip, letting Jessica's limp body fall to the floor. "You don't waste any time, do you?" Remy chortled. "I needed to eat. And how was that supposed to help us get Celine on our side?" She looked down the hallway, seeing a bright light illuminating from a room. She then heard Celine's voice, clear as day, in a whisper. "You didn't have to do that." "Of course she did. It's Anastasia," Remy replied. They walked down the hall and to the room. they saw Celine standing near a wide open window with her back to the door, and to Anastasia's surprise, Lucius standing off to her right. The large room encompassed the length of three large master bedrooms. A bed was lined up against the wall with several packed suitcases on top of it. Celine looked over her shoulder, frowning at Anastasia, but her piercing eyes revealed a woman who still had something up her sleeve. "I told you we couldn't trust her." Celine stared wildly at Lucius. A look of disappointment appeared on Lucius's face, and she brought her annoying friend. Celine's green eyes circled to Remy. Remy's eyes tapered, and he quickly turned to Anastasia. "We're about to die, aren't we?" "There's a high probability," Anastasia muttered to him. "So I guess I should just say what's on my mind." He cleared his throat, preparing for his speech. "Believe it or not, I'm a demon that follows decretums." He looked towards Celine. "Your decretum demands that Veronica be protected at any cost. So, yeah, whatever happened to that?" Celine's eyes narrowed in on Remy. "You need to leave. This doesn't concern you. Hey, we're all sorry that Lucius was thrown into limbo. But what you're both trying to do now, it isn't right, and you know it," Remy said. "And what makes you think my stint in limbo was wrong?" Lucius asked him. "It was the best thing to ever happen to me." Remy burst out in laughter. "You're kidding, right?" His eyes moved to Anastasia. "He's kidding, right?" Anastasia allowed her body to tense up, and at any moment she felt that Lucius would strike Remy down in a single blow. She wanted to avoid any confrontation and hoped to sway Celine with words alone. "We don't have time for this." Lucius looked to Celine and nodded. "Go, I'll join you shortly." Anastasia didn't want Celine to leave. She would miss her opportunity to get her alone, and if she made one move to follow her, Lucius would easily manhandle her. Celine walked over to the bed and she picked up a long brown jacket with a white ruffled collar. She slid the jacket over her body and adjusted it. "You made a mistake coming here." "What makes you both think that once you release them, they'll welcome us with open arms?" "Because we are their children, Anastasia. And good children obey their parents," Celine answered. "Yes, but children don't kill their parents," Remy said. "That's what they did. They betrayed the humans who made them. They will do that to you, to me, to Anastasia, and to Lucius. They will kill everyone, mortal and immortal alike." "Heretic," Lucius growled. "Maybe." Remy shrugged. "But we all know how Demon act. We know what our kind are capable of." "Enough!" Lucius raised his voice. "Celine, go, I'll handle this." Celine nodded back, and before Anastasia had any chance to stop her, she rushed out of the room and her sanctuary in Demon's speed. "Well, that was a bust," Remy whispered to Anastasia. "What now? Do we follow her?" Lucius turned to them. "You're a strong demon, Anastasia. You're exactly the type we need to bring in the age of the pure ones. Don't abandon that." "I don't serve anyone, including them and including you." Anastasia moved forward. "Not like this, Lucius. Not anymore." He raised his right hand calmly. "Don't fight me. You won't win." "I'm not here to fight you. I'm here to reason with you." "Well, I'm here to fight you," Remy added in a joking voice. "I still owe you for that stint you pulled on me back in Europe." Lucius took a step forward. "If that's the way you want it," he balled his right hand into a fist, "so be it." Anastasia felt a force inside her chest beginning to weigh itself down on her. Her legs quivered, and she lost her balance, falling to her knees. The pain shot up through her throat and to her brain. It wrung her ears and played with her demon senses. She'd never felt this pain before. With her vision blurred, she placed her hands on the sides of her head in a feeble attempt to control the pain. It suddenly stopped. Taken aback by what he just saw, Remy stepped forward. "Wow, the Pure Ones really worked some mojo on you. Look at you." He smiled at Lucius. "I mean, Who would want to worship something like you? As fast as he could, Remy launched himself at Lucius, managing to wrap his hands around his neck. Lucius reacted just as quickly, tossing him against the wall like a rag doll. He then waved at Remy to advance again. Anastasia stood up with her Remanga teeth fully exposed. She couldn't allow Lucius to harm, or even possibly kill Remy. This wasn't the reason she came to Celine's sanctuary. "Think about what you're doing, Lucius!" She felt her body surging with uncontrollable strength. "I have thought about it." Without warning, he leapt at her, catching Anastasia and slamming her to the ground. "I'm doing what should have been done a long time ago." He pinned her by her shoulders, and his moonless eyes gaped at her. "I'm securing a future for our kind." "No." Anastasia reached for his hands, using her strength to move him aside, but he didn't budge. Remy advanced, wrapping his arms around Lucius' waist, holding on tight. Lucius reached around quickly, grabbing Remy by the strands of his hair and swiftly throwing him aside. He returned to Anastasia and gripped her by the neck. This time, he raised her a few feet from the ground and tossed her through the large paned window. Small shards dug into her face and arms, and she landed face first onto the wet soil outside.
"I get it. You're all strength." Remy jumped to his feet. "You want power. Who doesn't want power?"
Before he could make another move, Lucius turned to face him.
"I don't want power."
Anastasia jumped to her feet, wiping away the clumps of dirt from her eyelids. She lunged herself back inside through the broken window, landing firmly on her feet. "But you have it now."
Yeah, you want this golden age thing to happen. I think we get it," Remy said. "But at what price?"
"Whatever it takes," Lucius said. "We're weak without their guidance." "Weak, maybe. But it doesn't take away the fact that they're in there for a reason, and we're out here for a reason," Anastasia commented back. "Our strength is in numbers, Lucius. You told me that once."
"I was wrong."
He moved quickly, catching Remy by the throat. He lifted him and tossed him at Anastasia. And just like that, he was gone. She slowly raised herself to her feet. She felt a burning sensation in her left forearm, noticing a long shard of glass embedded in her skin. She yanked it out, examined it, and tossed it over her shoulder. "Tell me why I agreed to this stupid plan of yours in the first place." Remy lifted himself from the floor and brushed himself off.
"At least, we're still alive."
"Yeah, I wonder why." He rubbed his neck. She couldn't ignore it any longer. Lucius wasn't the same demon she'd known before. And this wasn't the first time that she fought someone as old as him, finding herself being tossed around like a limp doll. She sauntered to the front door of the house and stopped. Her eyes were quicker than her nose this time as she picked up on the sight of two demon standing in the street, facing her. She then realized that her nostrils were plugged with soil and she blew the chunks free. The two demon stood in the cover of darkness, away from the streetlights. The moon's white glow did little to reveal their identity, but it was the scent that spoke words to Anastasia. One of them was a Metuspa, and the other one, a female, was a Remanga like herself. Remy noticed the figures as well. "You're pretty popular, Anna," he said in exhaustion.
"Doesn't matter."
She waved them away. They weren't the priority. She needed to get to Ollie's warehouse and fast.
"Phone's buzzing."
He reached into his pocket, pulling out his phone. He placed it up to his ear. Anastasia heard Hallie's panicked voice on the other line.
"What?"
Remy replied to Hallie over the phone.
"Slow down. What did you say?"
Anastasia heard Hallie's reply as clear as day. Humans had broken into Blind Bluff Manor, and she had barricaded herself with Veronica in Veronica's room. "We'll be right there." He hung up the phone and he stared at Anastasia. "Okay, now I'm really annoyed. I'll bet you it's the Brotherhood." "You go back." Anastasia moved toward the two demons standing on the street.
"Anastasia, the Brotherhood is at our sanctuary."
He stopped her by placing himself in front of her.
Remember the last time a group of humans came uninvited to our sanctuary? She couldn't think of a time.
Exactly, Remy said.
These two random demon can wait. She knew that he spoke the truth. The Brotherhood began their retaliation for what Celine did at their headquarters, starting with her. They had to get back to Blind Bluff Manor. She stood down and pointed to the two demon.
They're going to follow us.
So we'll kill them along the way.
His eyes lit up.
No big deal. They approached the demon male and female, stopping just a few feet away. Anastasia's eyes meandered over them. They were young, no older than 10 years max. When she attempted to scour their minds, a barrier blocked her. The female Romanga rushed at her in demon speed, but she quickly moved out of the way, grabbing the back of her shirt and tossing her several feet in the air and onto the roof of a parked car. The Matuspa catapulted himself at Remy, but he jumped several feet into the air, avoiding his attack. Anastasia rushed at the Matuspa, and she sank her teeth into the base of his neck, ripping at his flesh. He screamed, pushed her away, and fell to the pavement on his knees. From the roof of the car, the Romanga flew at Remy with fists raised and her mouth opened, revealing her fangs.
I've never hit a pretty woman before.
Remy smiled. She swung and he ducked, feeling the brisk wind travel over his head. Her punches continued non-stop, but with each punch Remy evaded, the faster the punches came. He finally found an opening and his fist connected with her stomach. The Romanga's feet wavered, but she immediately found her footing, and she swerved to the left, avoiding Remy's rising left punch. She raised her knee, striking Remy's in the chin, and he fell back on the pavement. She quickly maneuvered herself on top of him, striking him over and over again with her fists. Remy's head jerked from right to left, feeling his cheeks burn with each hit, until Anastasia wrapped her arm around his attacker's neck and threw her off of him. She helped Remy to his feet and they ran off in demon speed, with the two demon following them. Their stride took them under a freeway, splashing through knee-high water, and they turned sharply left. They passed through stop-and-go traffic, side streets, sidewalks, and eventually near the banks of the Mississippi River. They took the river south, leaving the city, and entered a desolate area filled with rotting cornstalks and farmhouses. They stopped in the quiet area, being only a few miles from Blind Bluff Manor. They turned around, but the two demon were nowhere in sight.
That wasn't hard.
Remy scanned the area across the river. He looked to the left at the tall dirt and rock-infested embankment.
I think we lost them.
Anastasia wasn't so sure. She looked up just in time to see the female jumping down at them. She tackled Anastasia, and they both fell into the wild currents of the river. She felt the coolness of the water streaming over her face and into her ears. It was an awkward position, knowing that neither of them would drown because Demon didn't breathe. She pushed the female back and she jumped out of the water just in time to see the male, also in midair, and his right leg connect with the side of her face. She landed on the sandy shore, swallowing a handful of sand. She turned over to see the female towering over her with a raised stake. For a second, Anastasia's eyes filled with uncertainty. Stakes were meaningless, unless the female aimed for her heart. However, if the female's goal was to incapacitate her, she would strike elsewhere, leaving her alive for them to toy with. Remy rushed toward the female, but she immediately turned, burrowing the stake into his left shoulder. He stumbled back, and the female grabbed the stake, dislodging it, and struck again, hitting just beneath his heart. Anastasia found her chance to make her move. Brandishing her teeth, she bit down into the female's neck and she pulled back, ripping flesh from bone. Blood gushed from her wound and she fell to the sand. Again, Remy and Anastasia took off down the banks of the Mississippi River. The river curved and winded around, bringing them to another remote spot. This time a freeway ran on both sides of the river with a bridge slightly above them. She stopped, noticing that stars no longer dotted the sky. In the darkened horizon appeared a tint of red, signaling sunrise. She had to finish this now and get to Blind Bluff Manor. They climbed the embankment and approached the freeway. They ran through the traffic, dodging semi-trucks, cars and other passing vehicles until they made it to the other side. Remy held his chest and he bent over. Good thing these demon can't aim to save their life. He coughed. Anastasia examined his wound. You'll heal. They heard the swift steps of the two demon approach them. Again the male launched himself at them, but Anastasia tossed him aside. He slammed into a nearby abandoned granary and she looked from the corner of her eye, seeing the female raise her stake, aiming for Remy's back. She quickly moved and caught the female by her wrist before the stake made its impact. With her other hand, she plunged her fist through the female's chest, reaching her heart. The female's eyes widened and she snarled before Anastasia ripped her heart from her chest. The Ramanga dropped to the ground and her body slowly began to dissolve into a puddle of blood, dust and bone fragments. Anastasia turned her attention to their male attacker, watching him limp toward them. Dark blood poured from his mouth, and a long piece of wood protruded from his stomach. She walked calmly over to him. His heavy eyes wavered. You failed. She plunged the stake into his heart, and nonchalantly, she returned to Remy, uninterested in watching the demon's body wither away. In the distance, she heard a male's voice coming from a small house on a hill. The front door opened, and she saw the outline of a farmer gripping a shotgun in hand. Let's get going. We don't have much time. She wrapped Remy's arm around her shoulder, and after taking one final look at the remains of their two attackers, they sprinted in demon speed for Blind Bluff Manor.